This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, we're back with you, America. Top of the hour. Scott, did I ever tell you the story? You know, we use this this theme half the time for Bill Martinez live. Little Barry White loves theme, right? Did I ever tell you the story? Okay, I have to tell you that. I'll tell you. We'll save it for another day here. But I was just thinking about it. I was going, I wonder if I ever told him, you know, why it is significant. It makes me smile. It does take me back some days and causes me to remember in a good way. And I'll share it with you a little bit later on. But right now, we got important things to talk about. And I promise we're going to get Marco Rubio's soundtrack out and his voice. He had some interesting comments to make the other day. But meanwhile, last night, it was the Bernie. The Byrne one. He's won 19 states compared to 23 for Clinton. I mean, how do you just kind of set this guy aside there, Scott? I mean, he's, you know, he's a force, and you've got millions of people who have voted for him. It has caused Hillary Clinton to rethink her position on many policies. And it's quite interesting what he is doing there. And then, of course, as we mentioned, Donald Trump kind of says, hey, let me give you a little seat here. What do you think about starting a third party? I mean, you're disenfranchising a lot of your followers here. Maybe you need to start up a third party. Would that be interesting, to say the least? But anyway, I promised you Marco Rubio. And Marco chimed in. Give us a little bit of lead into this, if you would, Scott.
Well, they kind of ask him if he will support Hillary, and she kind of say, you know, if you'd rather see Hillary or Trump, and he says that he's far more scared of Hillary than he is of Trump.
Yeah, and he did not put his finger down his throat, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. He just said he was afraid of her. That's it. Now listen to what he said.
And then let me pick up on that, because you were very explicit during your campaign about some of your concerns. You said he was an embarrassment. You said you were fearful at the prospect of his hand on the nuclear codes. You said he wasn't a Republican, not a conservative, that he would lose to Hillary Clinton. I know you want to stick by your pledge, but are you exalting that piece of paper over these fears you say you still have for the country with Donald Trump as the nominee?
Sure, but I mean, the only other choice then would be to vote for Hillary Clinton or to abstain, both of which would be supportive of her. And I have even more policy differences with her, and I'm even more scared about her being in control of the U.S. government and continuing the status quo of Barack Obama's policies. I mean, I think it's pretty clear that this is the position, obviously, I didn't want us to be in. Donald Trump obviously wasn't my first choice. I ran for president. I did the best I could, and it didn't work out, and Republican voters have chosen a different direction. I have to respect that result, even if I'm not necessarily the one that I want, even though it's not necessarily the one that I wanted. But I think clearly you're describing here the kind of quandary then and choice that millions of Republicans, not just me, but millions of Republicans across the country are trying to grapple with.
But for you, it seems like you're being loyal, and I think you should be applauded for that, that you're sticking to this pledge. But you're going to be leaving the Senate. You said you don't want to run for governor of Florida in 2 years. So it's possible for you to put politics aside right now and take some kind of a principled stand and say, no, everything I said during the campaign, I still believe. I cannot support this guy.
Well, first of all, everything I said about during the campaign, I still believe. But what you're leaving out of that is you have to make a choice. And you don't have a choice here anymore between 17 people or even 5. For voters in Florida in November, the choice is going to be, if you want a legitimate vote to elect the president, the choice is going to be between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, and or abstaining. And if I, as a Republican, abstain or vote for Hillary Clinton, that's support for her. And I am not going to support Hillary Clinton.
To put it bluntly, Senator Rubio, do you want Donald Trump?
Well, I'll tell you, put it bluntly, Scott, it cracks me up, you know, these liberal pundits and media types, they interject themselves and they're asking something of someone that they themselves would not take a stand for. If they were in Marco Rubio's position, they could only hope that they could halfway articulate as well as Marco did on his position here. I think he said it very very well as to the position that where he's in, and I believe where the Republican Party should be in. So, again, this demonstrates his leadership, and maybe the Republican Party should take notice. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 5 after the top of the hour right now.
Hi, this is Ron Paul. I'm a former 22-year congressman and Republican presidential candidate. I'm here to tell you about something that just might save your lives. You never know when there will be another Katrina, an economic collapse, or a serious drought. We should all have a little food storage that will carry us through tough times. I'm going to tell you about a great way to do that. A U.S. company named Harvest Right has a kitchen appliance that can help you be prepared. It's a home freeze dryer. With the product, you can preserve the food your family loves. And the best part is the food will last 25 years and still taste great. I've tried it, and it's amazing. With a home freeze dryer from Harvest Right, you can literally freeze dry anything you eat. Even things like ice cream. To learn more, call Harvest Right today at 800-594-4635 or go to harvestright.com. That's 800-594-4635 or harvestright.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Hey, we're back with you, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. Three of the most independent hours of talk radio you'll ever find. And also an opportunity for you to be exposed to the experts and authors like our next one. And we're doing a lot about history. I guess maybe that's the theme of the day. Is today's, you know, special history day, Scott? Or is it still Twinkie Day or, you know, whatever. What kind of day are we celebrating? For some reason,
it's Eat Whatever You Want Day, Twinkie Day, and Root Canal Day.
So yeah, I guess
what together.
It's thematic, but we're hanging in here in terms of history. And our next guest, Thomas McKelvey Cleaver. He's a writer, screenwriter, pilot, aviation history enthusiast who writes about World War II for Air Enthusiast Quarterly, Air International, Air Force Aviation History, and Flight Journal Magazine. You love this life. I mean, you got to love his life here and what he does. And everybody wants to be just like Thomas when they grow up. And his latest book, The Bridge Busters, The True Story of the Catch 22 Bomb Wing. You know, this is going to be incredibly fascinating. A great read, let me tell you. Thomas, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I'm very good. Thank you very much for that.
Hey, what a life you lead. I mean, you get to write, and you're a screenwriter, you know, movies, you're a pilot. I mean, you write about history.
No, I'm not
and
a pilot anymore. You can't afford it nowadays.
Oh, so
but part of the 1%.
Yeah, I know. Is that crazy? I mean, you know, any more you fire those babies up, and there goes $40,000 in fuel costs if you're lucky right away. You know, with these jets.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Well,
exactly.
Well, let's talk about Bridgebusters. You know, what drew you to this story?
The fact that it's the last great unknown air war story from World War II. Mm-hmm. I sort of kind of knew about it. I probably knew. More than 99% of people, and you could have written it all on the sharp end of a pin with a dull Sharpie with space left over. But back in 2012, I was reading the Huffington Post on Veterans Day, and I read an article by a woman who said that her father had never talked about what he'd done in World War II, and that she'd been helping him clean out his house that summer, and she'd found a piece of paper with his unit name on it. She'd Googled that, and she discovered that they were having a that they existed and still, and they were having a reunion 100 miles away in a month. And she convinced her dad to go to with her. And as she said, now he can't stop talking. Well, at Flight Journal, we're always looking for those articles, for those stories, the ones that haven't been told. And I thought to myself, this sounds like what we're looking for. So I was able to track her down on through the internet, and I emailed her and told her who I was and what I was doing. She put me in touch with her father, Paul Young, and I found out, you know, I started to find out the true story of the 57th bomb wing. The article got published in Flight Journal. Everything was fine. My agent, about 6 months later, was talking to me about a new idea, and I ran through my bag of ideas, and he said, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I got to, well, there is the true story of the guys that flew with Joe Heller and were the real Catch-22. And he said, that's the one. And
yeah, without a doubt. Wow.
What, course, what, and everyone turned it down except Alex Novak.
Well,
that's,
you know,
the way it works. A good idea gets turned down everywhere except the place it doesn't get turned down.
But you know, that's the beauty of a good idea. It has to have the right team and people behind it, and maybe that's one of the reasons why it had to wait until now for this, as you state, the last untold story.
That I'm talking to you here. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they can certainly get out there.
Exactly. Well, I'll tell you, I'm happy, and happy is an understatement. It's not the right word, because in a lot of ways you feel like you're on hallowed ground here. You are communicating and carrying on the story of these incredible men and the heroes of World War II, a story that was left untold. And there were so many stories left untold from the world's greatest generation. You know, when you look back during this era of World War II, I know my dad, I mean, I didn't find out till later in life that he was involved in the Battle of the Bulge and, you know, in the European theater as he was. He was a medic.
Those are memories you don't like to keep. Literally, the last conversation I had with my father, as it turned out, was when he told me about being sunk by the kamikazes.
Wow. Yeah, you know, that's and so the stories that they held, some, you know, for obvious reasons, and you know, and here it is, you know, God only knows, you know, what all they went through. I mean, you try to explain the best way you can, but how do you get in the spirit, into the heart of an individual that has experienced something like this? And especially to put this in perspective, there were not a lot of survivors here, you know, with these bomb wings that went up in the air.
Well, you know, the really fortunate thing for the 57th bomb wing is that they had, at the time, they had some very good unit historians that were keeping the war diaries, particularly Captain Nicholson in the 445th Bomb Squadron. He was very interesting. He was a Wall Street lawyer. He was in his 30s when he was served, and he was the guy that literally everybody came to for everything. And he was religious about putting everything in there. And the other ones did it pretty well too. And then the descendants, Dan Setzer, whose father was one of the gunners, most particularly, got these records. They have it. They have up a searchable website. You can go and find everything. So I was able to go and look at this mission and see that those airplanes were used and that these guys were in them. I could, and plus they put in a lot of the of personal commentary. They over the years, the guys that are keeping the website put in letters and diaries and quotes from them into the things in the relevant places, and it's almost like being able to interview those guys today.
Yeah, amazing.
That's how I got as many as I did, because there were only five that I could talk to.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know an entire crew had racked up 70 missions. And, of course, 70 missions, and to survive that long, you know, they're promised the orders to go home, but yet there's one more mission, and it did not fare well.
Right. You know, you weren't gone until you were gone. The whole thing about the 70 missions, what happened was after the invasion of Normandy in June of 44, the war in Italy was very much second place, third place even. The fact was that they could have won the war in Italy and still lost World War II. Or they could have won World War II, lost the war in Italy, and they still won World War II. But which eventually got to those guys, and that's why Catch-22 has what the novel has what it has about fighting a war that's being fought because it's there. But the problem was that they were short of replacements. At one point, one of the war diaries mentioned that they had 22 crews ready to go who'd reached the mission total, were able to go home, but they only had 12 replacement crews. So I'll
tell you, this book is a tremendous read, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to discover how one courageous pilot handled orders to drop his bombs on friendly Italian civilians, why roadblock missions were so hated by the crews of the Mitchell bombers, why Joseph Heller, we just mentioned, was sent home with a total of 60 missions under his belt when 70 was the code. That was the number that they were to endure. And Thomas, again, thank you for the book. Congratulations on the Bridge Busters. Available at all the usual places, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Okay, well, wait a minute. We have another segment with you, so don't go anywhere, all right? So we're going to extend the conversation, which is good, because there's so many more questions I have for you. It's just about 15 minutes after the top of the hour.
Is brought to you by Anheuser-Busch. With the arrival of spring, we've officially entered the start of prom and graduation season. This is an exciting and monumental time in a teen's life. It's also an ideal time for parents to talk to their teenagers about underage drinking so that they have a safe and memorable experience. This year, Anheuser-Busch has partnered with world-renowned comedy theater enterprise, The Second City, to create a series of short and relatable videos to encourage parents to talk with their teenagers about drinking and making responsible choices, specifically around prom and graduation season. According to the GFK Roper Youth Report, parents are the number one influence when it comes to their children's decisions on whether or not to drink alcohol underage. Katia Zastro, Vice President of Corporate Social Responsibility, Better World for Anheuser-Busch.
Our number one goal is to arm parents with educational information and content that helps you open and honest conversations with their children about underage drinking.
For parents who have questions on how to approach their teens or don't know where to start, visit FamilyTalkAboutDrinking.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shot the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Would you like to receive $250 to $1,000 cash per day? Go to RichMoneyRich.com. No website, no selling, no explaining. Just take these simple two steps and go to RichMoneyRich.com. You can be generating cash in the next 24 hours simply using this system. Good news is, it runs on 100% autopilot, and you don't need any experience to get started. It's easy. Get your share of easy riches and go to RichMoneyRich.com. That's RichMoneyRich.com. Go now. Brought to you by the Conservative Investor. Current returns not indicative of future results.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using the computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home, or business, or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you are having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
It's always a great day here at Bill Martinez Live.
Who is the gopher's ally? His friend. The harmless squirrel and the friendly rabbit. I'm going to use you two guys to do my dirty work for me.
What more could you want? Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, just the way you like me, fresh every day at 19 after the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez, and our discussion with Thomas McKelvey Cleaver continues about his book, The Bridge Busters, The True Story of the Catch-22 Bomb Wing. I'm going to read what another writer, Barrett Tillman, had to say about the book. He says, in The Bridge Busters, Thomas Cleaver highlights one of the ironies of World War II. 70 years later, the public is mostly aware of the Mediterranean Theater of Operations via a fanciful 1961 novel and the following movie, 1970 movie, but in addressing author Joseph Heller's wartime service as a B-25 bombardier, Cleaver places much more in context. The little-known 12th Air Force fought a long, sanguinary campaign from North Africa to Italy, highlighted by the months-long bridge-busting effort in the Alps Brenner Pass. Flying against lethally proficient anti-aircraft crews, the 57th Bomb Wing paid a steep price for its success, yet far more is revealed than the glamorous flyers sweating out open-ended combat tours. Cleaver introduces us to long-suffering ground crews who kept them flying, career officers mostly interested in their next promotion, Italian civilians who suffered in the crossfire, and even Wehrmacht leaders and flak gunners. This is rare history told almost at the last moment as more of those veterans depart depart the pattern every day. Well, that's a great commentary, you know, that came from, or I should say an assessment from Barrett Tillman, the author of The Forgotten 15, Thomas. And that really is, you know, sums up a bit of what Bridge Busters is all about.
It does. Barrett's a great guy. I sort of modeled myself after him. I really am very proud of the fact that he and I are friends.
Well, you have a lot in common, and to be able to pursue the truth in this story here, to put it in perspective, because as we, you know, as he highlighted there, between, you know, the book and the subsequent movie, you know, Hollywood's known to take its, take its privilege and prerogatives with the story, but you know, this gives you an opportunity to really bring this in proper perspective, and we can't thank you enough for The Bridge Busters, The True Story of the Catch-22 Bomb Wing. Put Catch-22 into perspective. Give us a little history lesson, if you would.
Of the novel?
Well, of the idea, Catch-22. Okay. Yes, the novel.
Catch-22. Catch-22, it was originally Catch-18. Interestingly enough, he in 1961, the publisher came to him and said, "Oh, look, Leon Uris is going to have Mila 18 published, and we can't have 18 in our title. Come up with something." And he literally just pulled 22 out of the air. But it's over the years become obviously a better title. Mm-hmm. Catch 22 just sounds better than Catch 18 to me.
Right.
Anyway. But the idea is that you have to be crazy to be doing what you're doing. But if you tell somebody that you want to stop doing it, it means that you're sane, and therefore you have to keep doing it.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, this was Thomas Heller. I guess this maybe gave Thomas Heller a little bit of, some space here.
Yeah. I have talked to the guys, and I've asked them, you know, was Catch-22 real? And it was. By the time they were fighting the Brenner Pass campaign in the winter of 44-45, because they were not getting any replacements, and they went from 50 missions to 60 missions to 65 missions to 70 missions to you're here for the duration, the last 2 months, guys were actually willing to take off their wings and take their chances in the infantry.
Wow.
But they couldn't. And at the same time, they're winning the war in Italy that winter. In October of 44, the Allied armies had fought themselves out trying to get through the Gothic line in northern Italy and couldn't do it. And the Germans were getting 600% of what they needed coming down through the Brenner Pass from Munich. And so on November 6th, they flew their first mission against the transformers so that the Germans couldn't use the electric trains anymore and had to bring other trains from elsewhere. And they had to keep going back to these places because you knock it down and then the Germans are trying to build it up. You had to knock it down again. And finally, at the end of March of 45, the Germans were getting 40% of what they needed, and it was taking 4 days to get through and not eight, instead of 8 hours as original. And and for half the days of the month, the line was closed. On April 9th, the Allied armies began their final offensive in the Alps, and on April 29th, 20 days later, the Germans surrendered in Italy, 2 weeks ahead of everywhere else.
Right.
And these guys had done it. And nobody knew it. And the funny thing was, I was talking to an Air Force colonel, a retired colonel, a friend of mine, and I was telling him about this, and I said, you know, they never said anything. It's the best campaign that the Air Force ever ran. And he said, well, you know, Tom, it's illegal for the Air Force to ever admit that they've helped the Army.
You got to love that.
Yeah.
You know, we love the intermilitary humor. And, you know, with my brother, you know, we go through it at times when we get together. My oldest brother, a retired Air Force, second oldest brother, was a field radio operator in Vietnam in the Army. And here I end up doing Good Morning Camp Pendleton as a Marine during the Vietnam era. So I was very, very fortunate in that regard, and so here it is. You know, it continues to this day. But yeah, we have a lot of fun between the three of us.
Oh, I imagine you guys rag on each other real well.
Yeah, just for fun, and of course we know each other really well. So on top of that, so you know, for Heller, you know, with him getting out early, I mean, you know, as you said, the bombing missions went from, you know, 55, 60, 65, 70, but he gets to go home at 60. What happened there?
What happened was in late August, they were ordered to bomb what they thought were bridges, and when they got to the place, they found that they were to bomb the town, which is the kind of mission they didn't like. It was a town of 2,500 people with no military anything there, no guns, nothing. But they were to knock it down to block a road so that a German panzer division couldn't get through, or it would be slowed down. This is where one guy left the formation after they had turned the initial point, and you're not supposed to leave the mission as a court-martial offense, right. And he bombed an open field. They came back, and there was a lot of controversy about the mission. And prior to that point, Joe Heller had flown 40 missions, and if you look in the record, 38 of them were hot missions, although he said after the war that he only flew milk runs. And then in the 6 months that he stays there afterwards, he flies 20 missions, one a week instead of one every other day. And only one of them actually is hot, and at a time when everybody in the war diaries is writing that easy missions are hard to find. Mm-hmm. When you're saying
hot, that you mean they're taking incoming.
Right.
You know, there's flak, you know, surrounding their flight path as they're heading to their mission, right?
Planes are getting shot down. Yeah, people are getting the daylight scared out of them.
Right.
And what happened was he started working. He ended up working with Wilbur Bloom, a fellow bombardier who was a pre-war documentary filmmaker, making a movie for the colonel about training of replacement air crews. And he didn't do. What happened was that if you read the novel, the Satimo Bridge mission is there at the end of chapter 29 and the beginning of chapter 30, beat for beat. And it's the moment, it's the most bitter moment in the novel. It's the moment where these guys are confronted by, do I go bomb a village of people I don't know where I won't get killed, or do I go bomb a hot target where I might get killed? The moral problem facing a person in a large organization, which is what the novel is about. And right after that, Yossarian, who is Heller's alder ego.
We got about 30 seconds here, Thomas.
They say to him, join us, be on our side, we'll take care of you. And he says no. Heller said yes. And after the war, being a moral guy, he was sitting there thinking, you know, I got out while all these other guys didn't. He ended up writing.
Wow.
That was how he worked it out. But the interesting thing is, when I have talked to the guys and I said, this is my theory about why it happened, they all said, geez, I would have taken that in a minute.
Exactly. Thomas McElvey Cleaver, Thomas, thank you so much for the book. Available at all the usual places. It'll be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. The Bridge Busters, true story of Catch-22 bomb wing.
This is brought to you by Amway. Amway, a leader in direct selling, just launched the XS Sports Nutrition line, marking its continued expansion in the rapidly growing sports and performance nutrition market. The XS Sports Nutrition line features a variety of products, including pre- and post-workout supplements, energy bars, protein powder, and shakes to help you hydrate, energize, and recharge. XS Sports Nutrition products are designed to fuel active lifestyles by quenching thirst, boosting and sustaining energy, and hastening recovery and building lean muscle mass. According to Amway, everyone can benefit from these products, from athletes to everyday active and health-conscious consumers. In fact, the Natural Marketing Institute reports about half of U.S. adults consume sports nutrition products today. Amway said the thriving sports and performance nutrition market marks an exciting new opportunity for Amway independent business owners and the next generation of entrepreneurs. The new XS Sports Nutrition line is an extension of the XS brand, which Amway acquired last year and has distributed since 2003. For more information, visit amway.com/XS.
All right, listen up, because this is the most important thing you're going to hear all day. What if I said you could make money flipping houses without any cash, credit, or manual labor? And what if I said you could do it part-time from the comfort of your home? Sound unflippin' believable? Hi, I'm Preston Neely, and I'm going to prove it by sending you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It sells online for $19.95, but I'm giving away free copies this week. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-959-9582. I used to be so broke, I had my electricity shut off 9 times. But I figured out a simple way to make money flipping houses without even breaking a sweat. Now I'm living the good life, and so should you. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. Hands down, it's the fastest, easiest way to get started in real estate. Let me prove it. Call right now to find out how to get your free book. When they're gone, they're gone. Call 1-800-959-9582. 1-800-959-9582.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today.
It's all about you, ladies and gentlemen. 28 minutes before the top of the hour, I want to remind you, if you want to get in the running for that movie Risen, digitally, was released yesterday, but in another week and a half, 2 weeks, May 24th, it's going to be released on DVD Blu-ray, but we have it now, and I'd be happy to give you one. All you got to do is send me an email, bill@billmartinezlive.com. Say, Martinez, hey, I want to be in the running. Put me in there. And who knows, you could win. I'd be happy to send you your very own absolutely free copy. I mean, you don't even have to pay for the postage. We're going to cover that for you, huh? How good? How good is that? And Risen could be on your shelf, and not only on your shelf, but it could be a great movie to see again and to share with all your family and friends. Lorraine Marie Varela is with us. She's the author of Powerful Moments in the Presence of God. She happens to be a professional photographer. She's traveled to the Middle East and lives near Seattle, where she and her husband helped lead a Foursquare Messianic congregation. Yes, you heard me right. Foursquare Messianic congregation. That's got to be interesting. Just we could do a whole interview just on that, Lorraine.
Probably.
Yeah, but it's good fun. But you know, that's just, you know, even like your book, Powerful Moments in the Presence of God. You know, you got to be there. You know, God says, look, if you draw me near to me, I'll draw near to you. It starts with us. You know, positionally, we have to be open to draw near to God. And regardless of what may have happened before, you know, what the devil would want to tell us, God wants us to draw near to him.
Yes, he does.
Well, in your book, Love in the Face of ISIS, I think the timing of it is absolutely perfect. And it is a word that I believe every Christian, every evangelical, I think anybody who wonders about ISIS, and I say wonders in a fearful sort of way, going, what is going on? Why are they attacking, you know, Christians? Why are they creating the havoc and the terror? And then here we are, you know, with the prospect that, you know, they're here in our neighborhoods. And at any moment, we could have some outbreak. It turns us upside down. But, you know, your book reminds us that there are 7 prayer strategies for the crisis in the Middle East. I mean, this is what God has given us. But if we're not going to use the strategies and the weapons of the warfare that he gave us to overcome, then shame on us.
Yes. Well, and Bill, really, the biggest strategy that we have is our agreement with God. Who are we going to come into agreement with? Are we going to come into agreement with the purposes of God or the purposes of the enemy? And we do that with our prayers. So he's already given us the weapons, and we just need to use them.
Well, and, you know, and some people are going to see the title of the book, and it's going to really stop them. And I know, you know, sometimes we hope to do that with the titles of the book. And it says, Love in the Face of ISIS. How about fear in the face of ISIS? No, how about the opposite? How about love, huh?
Well, I love the title because it was deposited into my spirit when I was in worship in my messianic congregation one day. And I had just been starting to think about this book, and I heard these words, love in the face of ISIS. It almost made me turn around and look, where did I hear this? But I knew it would be the title for this book, and it started to make me question, why this title? Why love? And then the Lord just started giving me questions back. Well, what is love? And who is love? And when we hear in 1 John that God is love, and you can translate that God in the face of ISIS, it just became so powerful. It's like, yes, this is absolutely the title for the book.
And when you understand that God is sovereign, that he is in control, that there's nothing surprising that is happening in the universe, God knows this, and there is a reason, you know, for all this occurring. And as you say, if we're connected with God and we trust, then there's peace in that, and we're not operating out of fear. Operating out of fear is the absolute antithesis of faith, and it is ungodly.
Right. And I really took a lot of encouragement from a former intercessor person who was devoted to prayer. His name is Reese Howells. Maybe your listeners are familiar with him. But during World War II, he had gathered together a body of believers that prayed through the conflict in World War II. And some of the insights that they had were so pertinent even for today, because they were struggling with fear just like today people are struggling with fear. And some of their questions were, must we have fear because others have fear? And can we trust God for the impossible? The important thing is to find out where God is in this. And those questions that they ask, I think, are questions that we should be asking ourselves as well.
Well, I think the first thing, when you get to the point, you're asking the right questions. You know, and you ask questions like that, God says, hey, bring it on. You know, let's talk about it. You know, bring your questions to me. There's nothing wrong with it. But sometimes we think, I can't, you know, it must be the devil that's causing me to ask this question. No, I mean, it's your very spirit that God created and deposited in you that's asking that question. And God says, hey, come here. I'm the one who has the answers. Why don't you want to talk to me?
Yeah. Well, and the thing of it is for me in writing this book is that I just saw the hand of God in it throughout, and I know that he has his eye on the situation, and he has the remedy for the situation. And really, the remedy is having his people come into agreement with his purposes through prayer. I was just sitting in a writer's conference, minding my own business, and I was listening to this speaker talk about the power of your premise, and she gave us an assignment. She broke our groups into groups of 3 and said, you're going to write about a current event. This group is going to write a frivolous topic, but your group is going to write about ISIS in the Middle East. And immediately I had this sense of being seated in heaven, looking at the earth from God's perspective. And I knew, hey, this is going to be a book about prayer strategies. How do we pray heaven to earth? And
well, here,
after
mm.
that, Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say here that here we are on the heels of a National Day of Prayer, a powerful movie released, War Room, talked about prayer strategies,
right.
And here we are talking prayer strategies. Do you think God's trying to tell us something here?
I think he's bringing us back to the importance of prayer, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You say the seven powerful prayer strategies. Let's enumerate those in the short time we have left here.
Yes. Well, when I was looking to figure out what these prayer strategies would be, I just in that little conference that I was at, I just came up with the number seven because I thought that was a good number.
And I love seven, by the way. I love seven.
But there are seven covenant names of God that are listed in Scripture. And I was talking with a friend who lives in the Middle East, and I asked her, has the Lord ever shown you how to pray over the situation in the Middle East? And she said, yes. He said, find the I am in the difficulty. And I knew that was going to be the answer for this book. The mm-hmm. I am are the covenant names of God. I am the Lord who is there. I am the Lord of hosts. I'm the Lord your shepherd. And the Lord is my banner. The Lord will provide, the Lord who heals, and the Lord is peace. Mm-hmm. And so all of those topics of the presence of God, alerting the armies of God, the protection of God, the perseverance for those who are in the Middle East, provision, healing, and peace. All of those are areas that we can pray into and see the release of God's purposes into those situations.
It's hallowing the name of God.
Absolutely.
Right? We hallow his name over each of these areas and these difficult areas of our lives, whether it's the Middle East or whether it's our own family right. or family members. Right, Lorraine?
Right. It's lifting up God's name. It actually goes back even to the Aaronic benediction where God tells Aaron to speak his name over his people, and he will bless them, and he will put his name onto his people. And this is the putting of his name. It's the assigning, the attaching, the committing of his name, the marking of his name. And by doing this into the situation, it releases, honestly, so much power of his character, his nature, and his purposes.
Well, Lorraine, the thing that I'm most excited about, and one of the reasons why I came back to the radio and behind the microphone, because I'd been away from the microphone for about 30 years, felt like God was calling me to come back. And one of the things that I felt in my spirit that I needed to do was connect with people who were in the throne room of God that would deal in the realm of that which is revelatory, that they know that they know that they heard the voice of God. And I'm sure that's what you did in this book and the premise, and it's all included here as much as your spirit could could release to us. Love in the Face of ISIS, Seven Prayer Strategies for the Crisis in the Middle East. Lorraine, where can people get their hands on your book?
Well, they can find me on Amazon, on Barnes & Noble, as well as on my website. I have a link at LorraineMarie.com. Take a pick.
Yeah, really. But take your pick, but make a pick, okay? And get your hands on this book, because this is going to encourage you, whether it's ISIS or what other giant that you may be facing in your life, and in praying the names of God, hallowing God's name over your situation. Lorraine, thank you so much for being with us. Lorraine Marie Varela on Bill Martinez Live. It's just about 18 minutes before the top of the hour, America. We've got more coming up right after this.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.
This report is brought to you by Anheuser-Busch. With the arrival of spring, we've officially entered the start of prom and graduation season. This is an exciting and monumental time in a teen's life. It's also an ideal time for parents to talk to their teenagers about underage drinking so that they have a safe and memorable experience. This year, Anheuser-Busch has partnered with world-renowned comedy theater enterprise, The Second City, to create a series of short and relatable videos to encourage parents to talk with their teenagers about drinking and making responsible choices, specifically around prom and graduation season. According to the GFK Roper Youth Report, parents are the number one influence when it comes to their children's decisions on whether or not to drink alcohol underage. Katia Zastro, Vice President of Corporate Social Responsibility, Better World for Anheuser-Busch.
Our number one goal is to arm parents with educational information and content that helps fuel open and honest conversations with their children about underage drinking.
For parents who have questions on how to approach their teens or don't know where to start, visit FamilyTalkAboutDrinking.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we don't diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, Bill Martinez Live is offering Clemson University's study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to BillMartinezLive.com, Youngevity, or call 855-305-8326. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 855-305-8326.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live. MartinezLive.com.
Hey, however you can join us online, on your smartphone, around the world, via shortwave, we thank you for joining in with us on Bill Martinez Live. This portion brought to you by my good friends at SaveTheStorks.com. You know, they got 21 buses out there that are offering moms an ultrasound picture of their baby. And the most extraordinary thing is happening. They're parked outside of abortion clinics, and they're offering life. They're offering a choice of life, a clear choice of life, and it starts with a picture. It starts with something that they don't know. It starts with clarifying a grave misunderstanding. They've been listening to those that, you know, affect abortion. So what are they going to do? They're going to do that which rewards them, and that is just keep the abortions going. I mean, to the point now where over 56 million babies have been aborted, and here's the alternative. 21 buses. We got 21 more online getting ready to be released, and this is where you can come in and partner with us. Get on the bus, okay? Any size donation, give them a call. Tell them Bill Martinez told you to call. 844-578-6757. 844-578-6757. And you can partner with us with SaveTheStorks.com. Get on the bus. Choose life, okay? Just about 13 before the top of the hour. Rabbi Goldson, Yonason Goldson is with us. I always enjoy our time to speak with the rabbi. He is the author of Proverbial Beauty, Secrets for Success and Happiness from the Wisdom of the Ages. Rabbi, who doesn't want to know about the secrets of success and wisdom from the ages, huh?
Absolutely, and the irony is that it's right there for us. King Solomon gave us the book of Proverbs, which is filled with his observations on life, how to be successful, how to be happy, how to find one's place in the world. And we just have to update the language a little bit, and that's what I try to do in my book.
Well, and I like what God told Cain, you know, back in Genesis. And that just sticks out in my craw forever. I mean, you talk about where the rubber meets the road. I mean, he tells Cain, who's down in his mouth because the sacrifice wasn't accepted. He says, Cain, he goes, let me give you some good news here. He says, if you do right, will it not go well for you? And those words echo through the millennia, down through the ages. And, you know, you get what you give. If you do right, it does go well with you. But you got to understand what right is. It's not right by your standards. It's right by God's standards, right?
Absolutely. And I'll brag for a minute. My daughter is graduating in a couple of weeks with her doctorate in audiology.
Mazel tov. All right.
And, you know, she's a bright girl, but she's not extraordinarily bright. She's not unusually bright, but she has a work ethic that is something to see. She made up her mind what she wanted. She put herself to it. And there is nothing in this world that pays off like perseverance and hard work and a vision of wanting to contribute and make a positive influence, positive impact in the world.
Wow. Well, congratulations to you and your wife and your daughter. You know, and I'm sure you're eager to see how God uses her in as she continues her adult life. You know, how exciting to see that there, you know, occur. You know, the title of your latest article is Giving Offense versus Taking Offense. You know, this 21st century, especially in this political season that we find ourselves in, boy, this is a target-rich area for offense. I mean, it's like at every word, you know, you want to talk bathrooms, you've offended somebody. You want to talk Trump over somebody else. Although I find it quite interesting here in Florida where I'm at for a couple of more days, Rabbi, I'm seeing more Trump stickers on cars than I've ever seen. I'm not seeing any Hillary stickers or Bernie Sanders stickers, although I saw them early on. But I see Trump stickers now.
Yeah, it's hard to read the electorate this year. Yeah. It really is. Although everybody's saying this is the same thing, it's certainly not my observation, that Trump has tapped into this frustration and this anger. And it looks like he's certainly going to get his shot. I hope he's the right person to confront these issues, because clearly none of the other front runners are. But it's really remarkable that when people get mad, that anger is going to, you mentioned Cain a minute ago. Cain had a choice. He could respond to God's rebuke and pull himself together and offer up himself and his offerings properly to the Almighty, or he could kill his brother. So he didn't have to deal with the fact that his brother was accepted and he wasn't. It's so much easier to sink to the lowest common denominator than it is to rise up to a level of personal responsibility.
Well, when you are offended, something is being exposed in you, and you're being told something. But if you don't want to take a moment and try to understand what it is that has offended you and what it says about your character, then you can rashly react like Cain.
Yeah, and really one of the statements I make to my students all the time, as I teach in the context of Judaism, but it's really a context of being a human being, is that to be a successful person, to be a healthy person, you have to be a little bit schizophrenic. In other words, we have to recognize that other people can't hurt us with insults unless we accept those insults. And therefore, the way other people use language or misuse language shouldn't really affect us. On the other hand, we should realize that our words can cause pain to others. And therefore, we should be refined and we should be cautious in the way we speak. It's the whole backwardness of our point of view these days. We're focused on rights. What do other people owe me instead of responsibilities? What do I owe other people? If we all were more concerned with how our conduct affected others, we wouldn't need all this talk about rights, and we wouldn't be at each other's throats so much.
Exactly. And, you know, this whole idea, as you say, even like, you know, worrying about a $15 an hour situation. And, you know, I'm not one for minimum wage. I'm for maximum wage. That's what I believed in. That's what my my father taught us. And, you know, so we can get it all in a fuss over $15 an hour. And then you have all these other unintended consequences that come into the fray.
Absolutely, and those types of jobs were never meant to be careers. As a matter of fact, a neighbor of mine, his son had dropped out of high school. He was working, I think, at a McDonald's or someplace like that, and getting paid $9 an hour. And after a few weeks, when he realized that the manager of his store was making $18 an hour, and this kid who had dropped out of high school, it suddenly dawns on him. Am I going to be doing this the rest of my life?
Mm-hmm.
He got himself together. He got his GED, and now he's in college getting straight A's. You know, that sense of I have to perform. I have to hold myself accountable, and I can't expect anybody to do it for me. That's what leads to real success.
Exactly, and you begin to look at a career path. As we all understood when we were growing up, these were stepping stones to greater choices. As I tell my kids all the time, you know, the thing that we love about life and experience is that it defines preference. Is your preference to, like this young man, to work at a fast food restaurant the rest of his life? Was that the career life that he wanted? No, but he didn't know that until he went to go work for $9 an hour. And he decided, hey, he needed to buckle down and do something and make some changes in his life. And, you know, he made some choices, and it sounds to me like he's going to be quite fulfilled.
Yeah, and nothing teaches like experience. The problem is that you need experience before you really figure that out. I mean,
right.
I worked as a kid for $2.50 at Baskin-Robbins. I guess that dates me somewhat. I never saw it as a career path. It was a way to get spending money because my parents told me, you want a car, you got to pay the insurance, you got to pay the gas, you got to pay the repairs. And that meant that I had to find a way of generating enough income to do that.
Well, I got to say, I was at Baskin-Robbins too, Rabbi. Don't feel bad. I'm right with you. I mean, I was making ice cream cakes and the brownies and doing all that. And, yeah, I think it was maybe about $5 an hour plus tips, you know. And so it was always fun. And you learn some really neat things, especially when people come in. I'll never forget this. When a gal comes in, she says, I want a banana split, but I don't want you to touch the banana. Okay. All right. Well,
customer's always right.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you know, it's like, here, help me here. You touch the banana. I'll throw the ice cream on here. We'll make it work somehow. But I thought that was really clever. But you love those things. You know, you love these kind of stories like that. But even at $15 an hour, Rabbi, I mean, who's going to make a career on $15 an hour?
Well, especially when that means that a quarter or a third of the jobs are going to get cut because the employers can't afford to pay that many people that wage, and when that pushes up the price of everything because the increase with labor has to come be paid. You know, there's no such thing as a free lunch.
Right.
That's what the Bernie Sanders crowd doesn't seem to really understand, that if you're going to give stuff away for free, it really isn't for free.
And yeah, what's the net of that $15 an hour? Let's figure in Obamacare and all the other government-controlled deals, and if it's going to be free education, you may be looking a lot less than what you're getting right now after everything is netted out, right?
Absolutely.
Well, taking offense, giving offense, give us some final perspective here in the last 45 seconds, if you would, Rabbi.
Well, you know, I was particularly taken by this offense people took when Hillary Clinton said about going off the reservation. You know, I'm certainly no Hillary Clinton fan, but there's a lot to find fault with before you start looking at stuff like this. And as I wrote in my column, I said, you know, the next thing is you can't say nosy because you're offending people with big noses. You can't say insightful because you're offending the blind. You can't say high-minded because you're offending marijuana users. And you can't say thin-skinned because you're offending hemophiliacs. I mean, we've really gone off the deep end here.
We really have. Rabbi Yonason Goldstein has been with us. Thank you, Rabbi. Have yourself a blessed day.
Diets to lose weight, right? You know, some of us have tried many of them. Well, at Bill Martinez Live, our healthy body weight loss system simply saturates the body with nutrition bringing down cravings. It's been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Sweating during a good workout at the gym is a release of all 90 essential nutrients, leading to a further deficiency, causing an even greater craving for carbs, sugars, and fats. Diet and exercise cannot curb appetite like saturation of mineral vitamins, amino acids, and essential fatty acids. Stop the weight gain cycle and lose weight the easy way with properly blended, specifically targeted nutrition. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com, Longevity, or call 855-305-8326. Fighting cravings is a losing fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, that's 855-305-8326. 855-305-8326.